gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Yeah!
How you feeling?
Fine!
You feel all right?
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. And we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic, as always. Really excited about this show today. This show is what the Section 357 show does best. We're going to do some perhaps politically incorrect stuff here. We've got a lot to talk about on this show, but before we even get into that, before we do, please let me turn it over to my man Ronnie. How you doing?
Yeah, Sunday, this is the show that we've kind of let sit in the stove for a little while, let it bake a little bit until some more facts came out. But now it's time to bring it out of the stove. The women of Donald Sterling, Shelly Sterling, the wife, B. Stiviano, the mistress, and everything that was involved in this situation. And this is what we do best, as Sunday talked about. Four guys talking about women, so this should be fun. Speaking of guys who know a little something about the ladies, out there somewhere between San Bernardino and Santa Monica, it's L.A. Trey. Trey, what's going on, man?
What is going on, my brothers? In the immortal words of Chris Brown, these girls ain't loyal, but the members of the Section 357 are loyal to us, our lovely viewers and listeners. Let's get this thing started.
You can always find us on Twitter at Section 357. Check us out on Podomatic, on Stitcher, as well as on iTunes, where you can subscribe to and download this podcast. But without any further ado, let's open up this discussion. Donald Sterling, soon to be former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. As you mentioned, Big Shot Ron, the women in his life, Shelly Sterling and B. Stiviano. Where do you want to start? I guess let's maybe start at the beginning of the chronology of this episode. So, B. Stiviano, what are your initial thoughts on B. Stiviano, who she is, what she did, and where she stands right now?
B. Stiviano managed to do in about 2 weeks what David Stern and the rest of the NBA owners were unable, or in my opinion, unwilling to do for 20-something years. And she brought down one of the most hated, despised, and reviled men in sports, even before the phone conversations came out. So, B. Stiviano, I'm sure, will talk about this groupie, gold digger, side chick. But to me, there is a little bit of heroin factor to her in this situation. L.A. Trey, I know you got big thoughts on this, and you always do. B. Stiviano, what light do you see her in?
One of my favorite movies is the Batman movies, and one of them, they close it out with them saying that Batman has to be the villain because he's what the city needs in order for it to move forward. He's strong enough, his shoulders are broad enough,
let's put the weight on him. And that's kind of how I see Stiviano. She's not a good girl, not by no means. She's a gold digger, self-proclaimed gold digger. As a matter of fact, she had a reality TV show based on being a gold digger. She's also been recorded saying racist things herself. But at the end of the day, it took something like her to bring down something even bigger. She's not the hero we want, but she's the hero we needed.
Let me chime in here. I have a daughter. I think fans of the show know that. I certainly want my daughter to grow up to be a president, you know, an owner of a company. I want her to be a legit person. But that being said, let's not rag too hard on the gold digger. If you're a gold digger and you know what you're doing, and we've talked about this on the show before, you know what? Do you. There's some benefits if you're going to do it right. And Dee Stiviano is the queen of all the gold diggers out there. She has done her job as a gold digger to heighten success. I mean, she already got cars and houses from Donald Sterling. She got her man, you know, an extra $1 billion. And she's got all the fame and publicity that you know she wanted, as you can tell by the stupid little visor that she's wearing all the time now. So she got everything that she wanted out of this. Kudos to her. Wherever you all be, high five from Sunday.
Fellas, I have a question. When you're dealing with men in power, sometimes the side chick kind of comes with the territory. But what do you guys define makes a good side chick? If you were a billionaire and you had those type of scruples, what are some of the do's and don'ts that your side chick must and must not have, and how does Stiviano fit into that equation?
Trey, that's a great question. That's something I think we definitely need to get into, because apparently cats out here aren't doing it right with the side chick thing. So we're going to help them out. But, Paul, I want you to step in there with your thought on Dee Stiviano, and then we'll definitely get into that.
When you have a situation like Donald Sterling had with Dee Stiviano as well as his wife, there has to be some very basic understanding of what the scenario really is. And I think that for quite some time, someone in that situation didn't understand, and maybe it was Shelley Sterling who was, you know, not understanding at first, because I think there was a lawsuit that she was filing against Dee Stiviano for some gifts and things that Donald Sterling had provided for Dee Stiviano. So it's one of those things where the situation got to a point where it might have been too flagrant, too much in the wife's face for her comfort. So I think that when you're doing what Donald Sterling allegedly was doing with Dee Stiviano, you have to be more discreet about these kind of things. And I think he had it out there in front of everyone's face. And ultimately, the wife takes offense to it and tries to, you know, disrupt the situation. And Dee Stiviano dug in and took it to a whole different level when it comes to protecting what she felt like was her role, if you want to call it that, as a side chick, and did what we all know that she's done up to this point. So I think that the whole, you know, the whole situation was not as discreet as probably a lot of people will maintain, especially going forward. So I think discretion is one of those key things if you're going to be in this position doing what Donna Sterling was doing.
Floyd, let me disagree with that for a little bit. There's a difference between a gold digger and the side chick, okay? If you're looking at things as the side chick, you kind of have to look at it from the male's perspective. And it's not necessarily about being discreet. It certainly can be. But as the side chick, you need to go with the flow. You need to understand what the situation is and deal with it accordingly. If you're the side chick of a man whose wifey is just fine with his man being a cheater and having a chick on the side, then maybe discretion isn't needed. But if you are the side chick of a man who's married and the wifey doesn't know about it, then yes, you need to be discreet. Certainly one of the things that you don't want to do is to do what Dee Stiviano did as a side chick, where you make the story about yourself. As a side chick, the story shouldn't be about you unless that's how the relationship is. So it doesn't always have to be discreet, but certainly in this situation, it seems like as a side chick, DeCiviano stepped over her bounds, as you can see, as you said, Hall, by the lawsuit that was filed by Shelley Sterling, and also, as you can see, with the fact that Donald Sterling ended up losing one of his prized pieces of property that he owned.
Floyd and Chen, let me ask you this really quick question. And the DeCiviano story broke. Basically, we got the recording. They released to TMZ. So DeCiviano, while she knew what she was doing, she went to TMZ. Did you know how TMZ works? Despite the fact that they're really accurate, they deal in salacious news. And that's led to a conversation about, did Donald Sterling deserve what he got based off recordings? L.A. Trey, you live in California. California has very strict laws about recording conversations. So I guess I'll flip it to Trey or Floyd, whichever one of you wants to answer first. Did Donald Sterling get what he deserved in this situation? We know he's got a long history of some other things that are quite vile, quite disgusting. But in this case, strictly with DeCiviano, did he get what he deserves?
Well, for me, I guess I'd have to look at it a couple of ways. The ethical way of how I personally feel about the situation, and then if I step outside of myself, because everybody here has got some kind of personal feelings towards how it went down. And ethically, I'm like, yeah, he absolutely, positively gets what he deserves. He was a horrible, abysmal man, and in the end, you reap what you sow. But if I step outside of myself and look at it with all things remaining even, he got a raw deal, man. I mean, he honestly said something in the confidence of his own home with somebody that he trusted, and he lost a business as a result of something that he did outside of the halls of the Clippers business room. And he kind of got a raw deal. I mean, I think DeCiviano kind of broke the code of what a side chick is supposed to be, because she was already winning. She got greedy, and she ended up winning as a result of it. She had the cars. She had the house. She had the paycheck. She had first-class passes to any Clippers style of event. And she probably did throw it in Sterling's wife's face. I mean, she was sitting like right across from her, if I'm correct, as far as like Clipper games are going. So they're like looking at each other. It was blatant disrespect on her side, but it took that to bring such a nasty, disgusting, reviled man down. So it's a coin flip. So ethically, yeah, he deserves it, but realistically, if I step outside of myself, nah, he got a raw deal.
Floyd, you are a resident contrarian. In this situation, not Donald Sterling's past, for this, did he get what he deserved?
I think that had Donald Sterling been involved in a business dealing that wasn't governed the way that the NBA is governed, he would have a very real legal leg to stand on. I think that because of the NBA structure, and you have, you know, this sort of group of 30 folks who are all equally in it together, they have voting power, they have bylaws, and they have a, you know, a constitution, if you will, that sort of closed system allows for him to lose this, you know, piece of property. So I think that had he been in another, I guess, more public, or I guess more market-driven enterprise, that he has a real legal leg to stand on, and I think that he definitely caught a raw deal. I think that part of what happened to him, though, was some of his own doing, because we talk about whatever the rules of the game are, as, you know, the main chick, the side chick, the man involved. The man involved sometimes has to be the best ambassador for the situation. You can't be so flagrant with how things are going in your life to where your wife is that incensed with what's happening, you know, with your side chick. I think a lot of women, and I want all our listeners to understand this, like, we're not advocating for this kind of behavior, but I do feel like in most cases, the wife may always know that something is going on, but if you don't bring it to her face, then she's most of the time kind of okay with it. And I think that Donald Sterling just went way beyond what was probably comfortable for almost any wife of a, you know, uber wealthy, high profile, you know, man in power. So he kind of brought it on himself.
to jump in on this real quick, I do want to make a comment because I've heard this talked about. As Ronnie said at the start of the show, we really have sat on this story for a while to let a lot of the facts come out. And one of the things that I keep hearing in the media is just what we discussed, that how much of what Donald Sterling said in a private recorded conversation that was recorded with or without his knowledge, that's disputed. But let's not forget that he also made some comments very publicly, knowing that he was being recorded, with Anderson Cooper on that CNN interview, that I really think that the NBA, had they wanted to, could have used against him. So, yes, it was the initial comments that Viviano recorded that made this a big story, but then he went on CNN and made even more of a fool of himself. So, yes, the recorded comments, the privately recorded comments, they may or may not have been admissible in a court of law, but certainly what he said on CNN about Magic and about AIDS and all that stuff certainly could have been used against him. But Floyd, let me toss it to you real quick, because I know we've been focusing very much on Dee Stiviano. Let's not forget the role that Shelly Sterling has had in all of this. Would you like to comment on that, any?
Yeah, definitely. To those points about Sterling and being on Anderson Cooper, I think I do want to point out first that he would have made those comments had not the previous comments been leaked out. So there's definitely a cause and effect situation going on there. But I think with Shelly Sterling and looking at the power move that she made, and we talk a lot about, you know, ownership structures and how really rich people create entities to manage their wealth. The Sterling Family Trust was the owner, quote unquote, of the LA Clippers, and Shelly Sterling, for, you know, the estranged wife that she is still the wife, still has some power, and she made an even bigger power move in seizing the financial rewards of the situation. The league was going to impose some sort of process to where they were going to take the team away. So Shelly lawyered up and did what any money-minded wife would probably do. She made the thing happen, took it to auction, and essentially doubled, maybe even quadrupled, the value of this franchise as a business entity. So she did it kind of without Sterling's consent, quote unquote. And I think that, you know, she being the other half of this, or I guess the other point in this love triangle, really pulled perhaps the ultimate power move in being able to sell this franchise for $2 billion.
Paul, you bring up a very, very good point, man. And I'm thinking of the long-term effects of this, because not only did the Clippers, who was, I remember hearing reports before the sale of estimates of, you know, maybe like $750 million, maybe $1 billion at the most, if I remember right. I think the Bucks sold for a little over $500 million. And then when the reports came out of how much the Clippers actually sold for, I think it made a lot of investors, as far as sports franchises all across the board, take a deeper look at the value of their team. Now, let's just say whoever the next team that may go, I don't know, just throwing something in the air, like I don't know, the Kings, who aren't selling anymore. That it was original. I think Cuban bought it for like a little over $500 million as well. And I wonder what the overall retooled values of the entire league is. Could this move have potentially increased the value of the NBA as a whole? And if so, then this is probably one of the greatest side chick moves in the history of sports of all time.
Trey, you talk about the value of NBA franchising. This is where the Shelly Sterling move is brilliant. The Milwaukee Bucks, you know, one of the more downtrodden franchises in the league, small market Milwaukee, sold for $550 million. There's a report out that the Knicks, who haven't won a championship since 1973, I know we can talk about the whole New York thing, were valued at $2.5 billion. So NBA franchise values have done nothing but go up the last 10 to 15 years. So the fact that Shelly Sterling, basically, if you want to say, hung in there with Donald for all these years. Because remember, the Donald Sterling rap sheet is long. Now, the Beast Tibiano situation comes up and it times itself out perfectly. We got recordings. We got racism. We got owners who can't afford to have their franchise value slipping, who need him out of there, a willing buyer, and a marriage that's over. So the timing of this for Shelly is perfect. She's going to make out with a fat, fat piggy bank out of all of this, and a marriage that she probably doesn't have women have anything to do with anyway. So I got to give her kudos. Unlike our girl Melly on Scandal, Shelly's not riding along for the ride with this. She's not going to be disrespected and blatantly, you know, had this flaunted in her face. She fought back. And she fought back in a big time way. And she's going all the way to the bank with you. Dee, I know you wanted to jump in. Please jump in.
Dee, you asked this in our pre-show meeting. Who is the loser in this situation? And I think that the one loser in all of this were the people that just recently sold the Bucks, as you said, for about $500 million. Because thanks to the work of the two Donald women, thanks to the work of Beast Viviano, thanks to the work of Shelly Sterling, the Clippers were sold for a huge price. Now, there was a lot involved in this. There was a whole PR that was involved in this. There was a buyer that was very much interested in the Microsoft ex-CEO who really obviously wanted to own an NBA team. There was the issue with it being an LA team, so you have the whole LA market. But $2 billion is one of the things where a rising tide lifts all boats. So the NBA owners were winners in this two ways. One, in that they didn't have to make this vote to ouster Donald Sterling, which would have been controversial, which would have eventually been released, which could have caused a lot of PR issues. And two, all the values of their franchises went up. Like I said, there's a lot of different factors in this. You're not always going to have a team in LA. You're not always going to have such a willing buyer. You're not always going to have this PR that's around it. But any NBA team after this that wants to sell now has this as at least a negotiation point to say that, well, Clips went for $2 billion, so I think my team is worth X amount. So it was a huge win, and certainly you've got to give Shelly Sterling credit for milking this for all that it's worth. The way that she put out a deadline to force action, the way that she had different buyers competing against each other, she had that competition, it was all very well done from a high-end, big, powerful business situation, and everybody won, with the exception of the people who just sold the Bucks.
Fellas, let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to do an extended last call. We always leave you all with some final words. We're going to do an extended version a little bit on this edition of the Section 357 show. Twitter heads, at Section 357 show. Check us out. We'll be right back. Section 357 show.
Virginity from me. Don't tell me you like it when you love it. And don't wear Kobe's to the club, them ugly. But damn, know I f*** with other people's money. OPM greater than club, get the money. It's not a secret if you tell somebody. No, I ain't never sold. If I did, I wouldn't tell nobody. Look, look, I get stupid, but I'm no dummy. And I don't know enough about the money. But I know today was a good day. Every day is Friday, ice cubes in the ice tray. We cold chillin', the girls been here, but the money's on the way. If I was you, I would stay.
Stay the fuck out of the way. I'm ahead of my time. I'm rewriting history when I write rhymes at the same damn time. Private jets and safe sex, that's on my mind. Purple label suits and Benz coupes, the world is mine. Don't wait for me, I'm on my own time. I'm just shooting for the stars like they stole my shine.
I told her, you can get with this, or you can get with that. But this is where it's at. Like this is where it's at. I told her you can get with this, or you can get with that. But this is where it's at. Like this is where it's at.
Yeah. Somehow, some way, just get paid. My girl a black strawberry shortcake. In the kitchen now, pulling out cakes. Built this 210 days. Floor to ceiling, just me and mine. Dirt work, middle finger to the system. Brainwashed, no clue about the business of the stolen land. Mass, all the people that they tricking on. Abracadabra, blow the smoke in the mirror. Yeah, rearrange your perception. Chop shop, cut it and the walls up. Cold, the cars, they frost up. Why you rolling no AC? Somewhere between Lil Uzi and HD. Rolled up cone, just putting to sleep. Put in a little work at the lab with Doc B. Calm down, y'all roll rage and lane. All that, it just don't sound the same. I don't say much, just flash the house keys. Pass you, flash hazards, then I laugh at you. EPA still gassing you, yeah. Uncle Sam still taxing you, what? Still money on my mind. Two houses to pay off, what the fuck is a day off? Two cars to service, one girl that deserves my undivided attention. Try my best to listen. But most days I be spaced out, stressed out, cause I made my own route. Made the whole block the way I flip the house, the way I get it in and how I gives it out. Handful of friends, no kids, a spouse. You is what you is, you in or you out.
I told her.
And we're back. This is the Section 357 show. Check us out, section357.podomatic.com for previous episodes. And check out the blog site, section357.blogs.wordpress.com. Floyd, I'll start out with you, man. We got to turn in our scorecards here. This whole epic tale of Donald Sterling v. Stiviano. What you got, man? Wrap this up for us.
I think when we talked about this before the show in our pre-show meeting, that it kind of feels like everyone won. In some form or fashion, everyone kind of got what they wanted in some way, somehow. But I wanted to quickly pivot back and turn it to you, Big Shot Ron. Adam Silver, when the story initially broke, Adam Silver was hailed as this great leader in this time of crisis for the NBA, but with the expedited sale of the Clippers and Shelly Sterling kind of taking the lead on this, did Adam Silver end up kind of with an incomplete in terms of his leadership scorecard on this, because he never got the chance to really give Donald Sterling the boot, if you will? So what are your thoughts on this?
Did he lose something personally to be that commissioner like Faye Vincent, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, to really put the hammer down on someone? He did. But for the overall health of his league, relationship with owners, with players, the expedited sale certainly helped his cause, and he averted his first major PR disaster, which is something his former commissioner friend, Mr. Stern, was always confrontational and had too many, in my opinion, PR disasters. So personally, yes, big picture, he did win. D, winners, losers in a situation, what you got?
My losers in this situation are all the pundits, all the Twitter heads, a lot of people that I actually respect to comment about sports, who commented initially after the sale was done that we, quote unquote, the royal we, messed up in allowing Donald Sterling to bank $2 billion off of the sale. And admittedly, it seems like he's only going to pocket about $1 billion, but still, it doesn't change the fact that from the start, we knew, again, the royal we, at least the intelligent we knew that if we wanted Donald Sterling out of the league, then he was going to have to make a massive profit. We've talked about this in some of our offline texting debates about this conversation. We were never
shy about the fact that Donald Sterling was going to make a lot of money. That was what was required if you wanted the sale to happen quickly. There was just no way that you were going to take the Clippers away from Donald Sterling without him making a lot of money. So to all those people out there on Twitter that were pissed that this sale happened for $2 billion, get over it. You're a loser, because that was the way it was going to happen from the start.
I'm curious about how women in general view the women in these situations. Because to me, it seems like, be it Stiviano or Mrs. Sterling, are both the anti-heroes. Unlike back in the day when you were a side chick, you had to kind of know your role to stay out of the public eye or suffer massive consequences, like, I don't know, somebody like Marilyn Monroe. It seems to me now that with women having a stronger voice and more confidence in themselves, they're able to step up to someone who is a billionaire and put them on notice and show that you can't just say and do what you want to me and get away with it. And also with Mrs. Sterling, she stepped up to a billion-dollar franchise pretty much by herself and came back victorious. And both women in some ethical world are pretty unethical. They're not people that you want babysitting your daughter or teaching your kids. But at the end of the day, do the ends justify the means? Stiviano is going to be in the news for a while, be it pushing her new reality show that she's trying to get, her hats or whatever. She's going to keep her millions, and Mrs. Sterling is now $1 billion richer. So with all that, how as a parent or a friend or just a woman in general, how do you view women as far as going about this way in order to find some form of success?
And lastly, it's just very interesting to me how all of this, we talk about social media on this show a lot. It's interesting that all of this started, at least the firestorm started, because of an Instagram picture, as well as some other, you know, public things that BC Viano was doing in terms of bringing friends to, you know, the games. But still, so it's interesting that all of that started with social media, or I guess with social media playing such a very strong role in it. So that being said, always take note, take heed, and pay attention.
Quick question, and then Floyd, take us out of here. You're in the media game and you're 9 to 5. We did a show on TMZ, and is sports the new TMZ? But is it time that we have to kind of reassess our view of TMZ? Because say what you want about them, as a news source, they're pretty dead on the vast majority of the time with stuff that they break, Floyd. So do we have to kind of take a step back on TMZ and how we view them, and then certainly take us out of here?
Most definitely. TMZ has definitely become a legitimate news outlet. You may not like how they do what they do. You may not like what they present to you, but what they really do is present what's happening out there. Sometimes our worst moments, as Dee talked about, the royal we, I use the royal hour. Sometimes they put our worst moments on display. But they are really, important now in terms of news sources, and especially when it comes to sports and entertainment. They do what they do very well, better than almost anyone else out there. So TMZ, you know, winners and losers, TMZ is definitely another winner in this case. But with that being said, let's wrap up the show. This has been the Section 357 show. Find us on Twitter, on Podomatic, on iTunes, on Stitcher. Good luck to you and your favorite teams and players out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.